Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, after the show has aired, if you just got in your car, you're just about to get out of your car and you wish you could hear more, we upload the show to our own website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. And you go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can hear all of the archive shows. You can forward them to your friends. You can look at pictures of who's been on the show, etc., etc. So please do that while you're at the website. Go to the exhibitions, please, and go see what's on at your National Art Gallery. You can also look at our calendar. The calendar shows not only the exhibitions that we have on, but all of the activities and events, many of which are free to the public. So we have film screening program. The next film screening is scheduled for November, and we will be showing Get Out. That's going to be on Thursday night, the 1st of November. We think that's an appropriate horror movie. That will also be late night viewing at the gallery. We are collaborating with the Creative Times Summit in Miami to be a screening site for that summit. And on Thursday night is sort of the opening of that. So we are leaving the museum open from 5 until 9 o'clock at night. It is free entry for anybody. There will be, refreshments, not crazy refreshments, but there'll be some refreshments. So do come. And if you then want to stroll over to Fiona's Theater and participate in, well, not participate, but just sit and watch, Get Out. But there will be a talk at the end of it, so we always have discussions after our films, then please join us with that. The Creative Times Summit will then be taking place on Friday. We are just a screening site for that, which means you can come to the NAGB and you can watch all of the speakers in the Creative Times Summit from the museum. We will also be having our own speakers who will be in the breaks in the Miami conference doing their own talks that are specific to the Bahamas. So that will be an all-day open process, and we welcome everyone to come to that. And then on Saturday, we'll be having a walk and talk over the hill with some of the artists from the NE9 to speak about gentrification in those communities. So there's a lot going on at the National Art Gallery. And then upcoming this Friday, we have our Friday Night Live, which is a special Halloween version. We're asking people to come either dressed up. The theme is Night of the Museum. There will be a band. That does have an entry fee. The regular ticket to enter the museum is $7 for adults. It's free for children under 12 and $5 for seniors and students. And there's going to be a band and a bar, and there's going to be a mask making workshop, and there will be free drawing classes in the gallery. So that's Friday night starting at 6 until 10 p.m. We really want everyone to come out and enjoy that. And on the 28th of October, we have our fourth Sundays, which is when we give free guided tours in the museum. Every Sunday is free entry for any Bahamian or local resident. So we really encourage people to come on Sunday. But on our fourth Sundays, we also lay on a free guide so that if you have questions or comments, you have someone to interact with. So that's all going on at the National Art Gallery. We really encourage people to come down and participate in that. And, join our newsletter, and we will keep you informed of all the goings on. Back to tonight's show. I am in the studio tonight with an international visitor whose name is Sasha Dace. She is a Dutch curator, producer, and writer who is roving right now. You're sort of the editor and, out there. You've been traveling around the Caribbean for 11 months.
Yeah, this is the 12th month.
Did you start in the Dutch Antilles?
No, I actually started in Haiti because I started in November, and I wanted to spend some time because I've never been to Haiti, and I thought it would be really interesting. And I was also invited by Giscard Bouchot. He's a curator in Haiti who's doing the Nuit Blanc, and that's always the first week of December. And so he invited me as a visiting curator.
And the Nuit Blanc, just again for people that might not speak French.
Yes.
They have them also in all over Europe, really. Yeah. But I mean, it did sort of start, I don't know, did it start in France? I remember them in France.
Yeah, it did. And so he knew that because he studied in
France.
Right.
And it's basically a night when all the cultural institutions stay open till midnight, is it?
Yeah.
And they're all free. So basically every museum, and sometimes I think even public buildings that are often not accessible to the people, maybe historic public buildings are open.
What more happens in Haiti, because there is not that many museums.
So maybe, like a palace or a ministry and some sort of 16th century building is actually then open for the public to come and view. And so they have that in Haiti in December. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was, I think, the third year when I went. And for me, it was a perfect chance to sort of go everywhere with him and basically meet the whole art scene, because he's, of course, trying to involve everybody to be part of it. So that's why I started in Haiti. Yeah.
And so how long were you there?
About 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I went to Dominican Republic, and then to Curacao, Aruba, Jamaica, Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands, St. Martin, Suriname, Puerto Rico, now here, and then I still have to go on Trinidad, still have to go to Barbados, Martinique, and Guadeloupe. So it'll be 16 islands in the end.
Which is probably more than most people that live in the region.
Yes, is what I realized, like, and also realizing how difficult it is to get to the islands, how big actually the isolation is.
Yeah, like, and actually I was going to ask, how easy was it to get from Haiti to the Dominican Republic? I bet even that was not so easy.
No, and in my case it's sort of, because Christmas was in between, and Haiti is incredibly expensive. Unless you're really that poor, which of course in their eyes I am not. So
yeah, so there's an extreme of
And so and they had a new flight going from Haiti to Curacao, a straight flight, and there was sort of this advertising this new flight, and I could fly to Curacao for like $100, and I have friends there, so I decided, they had a set like, why don't you come and celebrate Christmas here and like the holidays instead of being by yourself in Haiti. So I did do that, and then I flew from Curacao back to Dominican Republic. Originally I had planned to actually take the bus, which apparently, I didn't do it, so I can't really say firsthand, but it's apparently a really beautiful ride to sort of see the countryside. So I had planned to do that.
But I wonder how easy it is crossing that border, I suppose. I mean, again, I don't know. I've just heard it's maybe the bus is the only way, but I think it's extraordinary. You know, it's one island, and there's still, you know, a very hard border between.
Well, and then it obviously becomes apparent how easy it is for me being white doing that.
Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah. That privilege to cross borders
makes a huge difference. I mean, you get like stopped by the car, and I mean, after a while, we started joking about it. You know, like somebody stops the car, I'm turning down, rolling down the window, and they're like, "Oh, okay, keep moving."
Unless you have a person of color in the passenger seat.
No, that was the case. Yeah, but the fact that I was sitting there, they just assumed that was my
chauffeur.
Because
I've had it happen in other situations, sometimes here, or sometimes in other places where, you know, I've gone places.
Yeah.
And there's, same thing. Like, I get waved through, but then when I'm with friends that maybe aren't the same, suddenly I get pulled over, and it makes you, again, the privilege of the ease of travel is extraordinary that we still have, those of us of a lighter hue.
Yeah, it's incredible, because you do realize, like, my presence anywhere is never questioned, or at least hardly ever. And you know, like, in all honesty, obviously I would like to keep it that way, but I would like to have
for everybody. Have it for everyone, exactly. Yeah. And I think also, you know, before the break you were speaking about being a cultural producer in Holland, and that, you know, you became sort of a producer simply by being an organizer, which is in a way how I became a director as well. It's just all about, it's that, you know, you're producing things. And I remember my dad's, you know, I worked in the film business for a while at one point. He was like, "Oh, honey, you know, your career." And I said, "Listen, I can just produce anything. I can produce a restaurant. I can produce
My expertise is now in art. I can organize toothbrushes."
Exactly. You can do that. If you have that ability to be logistically competent and run budgets and things like that, you know, if you can almost do anything where your heart wants to take you. So, you know, we ended up in art because we love art. But it's really interesting. But you said, you know, when you were in Holland, you know, you could just basically throw everything in a van, right?
Yeah.
And drive, you know, even in this country, we don't have that luxury, right?
No.
We don't have that luxury. And so we're trying to take the National Collection to the family islands. And we've been to four islands now. We've been to...
with that mail boat?
Either the mail boat or the ferry. Yeah. But, you know, again, it's very costly. We have to get sponsorship for that. You know, you have to put everything in crates. You have to pack it properly. Whereas if you're putting stuff in a van, you can soft pack everything and use bungee cords. And, you know, the expense of sending things by boat
or enormous
by plane is exponentially so much higher than sending it, you know, than renting a truck and doing it. So it stops you being so self-motivating. And then, of course, within the region, you have an artist. John Beadle was invited to be at the Martinique Biennial, and he wanted to show a piece that we'd shown in Europe, actually, which is this beautiful giant tree made of hanging machetes.
Oh, with the machetes.
Right, yeah. And, you know, the difficulty of trying. So in the end, I think he had to go there and he had to buy them and he had to, you know, you have to find ways around because you just couldn't ship it. It was too costly. And that's just, again, within our own region. Whereas, had you been in the United States or had you been in Europe and you'd wanted to show that in another, across the state line or maybe in Canada from the U.S., it just wouldn't have been that hard. And so that disconnection and that isolation you speak to is something very real in our region.
Yeah, and it's of course, like the whole infrastructure is difficult. And of course, it's very deliberate, like for centuries, like, you know, Europeans didn't want the islands to be in connection. So they did everything to actually not have an infrastructure between them.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, like, lots of friends say, like, well, you know, but now people are independent, they can do it now. But, like, we forget, like, we have incredible infrastructure in Europe. But, of course, you know, like, that was started in the Roman Empire centuries ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course we have a good infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You can't build that in, like, 20 or 50 years of independence.
Right.
After it's so deliberately not been placed there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get all these, like, small airlines. I mean, I had booked a ticket, and then the airline just disappeared on me, so I lost my ticket, needed to figure out a whole new way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn to really book last minute, because you never know. Like, times change, or, like, all of a sudden flights are not really connecting well. For one island, you have to fly over another island, but the next flight is not even on the same day.
Exactly.
So now
you have to spend the night, you have to sleep in the airport.
Or
I think,
and also,
I think the assumption is that a lot of airlines have, maybe not the local airlines, but even so, is that no one's working. Right. The assumption is that everyone coming here is on holiday.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I'm coming back from Puerto Rico for a conference I'm going to. The flight leaves at 4 a.m. and I have to be at the airport at 2. And that's actually not so bad because it means I have a full day in the office when I get back to the Bahamas. But and the other option is to go at sort of, you know, 1 p.m. and you miss a hot. So either way, you're kind of it's not really made. And then you get somewhere and you can't really connect. You get to Orlando or Florida and you have to wait 5 hours. So, you know, whereas when you live in London or you live in Paris, you can pretty much get anywhere in a few hours.
There's
right?
lots of flights.
Lots of flights and easy connections. Connections in under an hour and a half.
They're really made for that.
It's made for transparency of travel or ease of travel. It's made for people to be in connection with one another. Whereas, as you said, you know, this region, even though it's not made to be in connection with one another. And some of that is even still us. We're still kind of xenophobic you know, or maybe, and again, I can get to London in less time than it takes me to get.
Well, every island can get to its old colonizer in like
I always
a
call it the mothership.
Yeah.
We can all get back to the mothership.
Yeah, and they can get to you.
Of course. Yes, yes. So
it's, but yeah, like it's, I find it, I find that fascinating and difficult. So I actually made, I'm trying to not fly to America ever to get to another island to really get the sense on how difficult it is to go from island to island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive.
Extremely,
you know, because you see an island where you stand and that's where you want to go to, but you have to fly to Siberia and it costs $3,000. You know, I keep on saying that, but it's really sort of true, you know.
Like, well, even here in our own archipelago, we try to go to all that. We're trying to sort of do what you're doing in our own country. We try to take our children to go see all that because the family islands all have their own character and their own culture. And we were in Eleuthera this summer, and we wanted to go to Cat Island, which you can, if you're on the southern tip, you can see it. You can see it. But it's very hard to get to directly without having to fly back to Nassau.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, we sort of had the same challenge. We were like, we weren't saying we didn't want to go through the States. We were like, we don't want to go through New Providence. Like, how are we going to get there? And it really is extraordinary how hard it is to get around. And They're not supported, any of these things, right?
So, I wish there were more ferries. Like, and maybe if that mm-hmm. would have been in place, it still would be here, you mm-hmm. know? Like, mm-hmm. because flying is also expensive. And what you see is when I am in a plane and there's finally, like, a line opened, then you actually see there's not that many people because yep. that's, of course, the problem. Yeah, in Europe course. And yep. in the States, you have yep. billions and, yep. of people.
Exactly. And that's why, I mean, there was a regional airline, I can't remember what it was called now, Red something, and it went out of business because I think yeah. there aren't, as you said, air travel is expensive, it's not yeah. for everybody, and it takes time to build a clientele, yeah. and in that time the airline can...
By the time anybody thinks like, oh shit, we can go directly to this island, it's already gone, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, anyway, we're going to go to a short break and continue this discussion on Sasha Dace's travels around the Caribbean. Yeah. Let's talk about some art now when we come back. What you've seen on your travels, and you've only been here a couple of days, but your impression thus far of our own scene, which I'm very proud of. And we'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.